Hello world, I'm Kate Armstrong and this is Future Talks. Future Talks is a series of conversations with friends of FabLab Barcelona, exploring the nature of emergent futures from the past to the present and beyond. The plastic problem is well known. Precious Plastics is a global community building solutions to the incredible environmental and social impact that plastic is having on our planet. For this episode of Future Talks, I sat down with Mattia Perez Bernini during the Plastic for Good Challenge held by Distributed Design Platform and Precious Plastic. In the heat of summer, we took 15 amazing designers to the Precious Plastic Base Camp in Eindhoven to work on distributed design solutions that bring design sensibility to materials made out of plastic waste. Mattia and I discussed the crucial role of community and design sensibility to solving some of the world's most pressing problems. Plus, I got an insight into some of the upcoming projects that Precious Plastics were working on at the time. I hope you enjoy the show. Hello, world. I'm Kate, FabLab Barcelona.
Hello, Kate.
This is
Mattia from Precious Plastic.
Super. And we're here in Eindhoven on a very warm but very beautiful, surprisingly warm but beautiful day.
Absolutely.
In your headquarters, which is something like a greenhouse in this weather.
Yeah. Yeah, I believe it can qualify as a greenhouse. Yeah.
Okay, perfect.
It's got a glass roof, so it's pretty difficult to survive in there, but we've done good.
Yeah.
And the guys have been working hard. I don't know how they did, but
exactly.
Hats off.
Yeah, so we're here with, 14 designers from our team to do the Plastic for Good Challenge, coming from the Distributed Design Market Platform project with Creative Europe. And you have who lives here? What do they do? What's going on?
So right now we have about 38 people in the house, plus another 6 coming this week. Mm-hmm. And these are all volunteers that are coming here from all corners of the planet to make sure that Precious Plastic exists and thrives and keeps on developing solutions to the plastic problem. And these are from engineers to designers to chefs to coordinators, activists, and so on and so forth. So really skilled and qualified people that have decided to dedicate part of their life to come down here and help us to develop this new version of Precious Plastic.
Yeah, so I guess these people are aware, like obviously many, many other people, but they're obviously people who are aware and want to take action on the plastic problem. So can you talk a bit about the plastic problem and how you guys are planning or have conceptualized your skills to be able to actually do something about it?
Yeah, I think the plastic problem is now finally quite mainstream. I think we have kind of a media momentum at the moment because of the huge crisis that we are living. Mm. It's not a new problem. It's been around for quite some time. But just lately, it just becomes so clear that it will be difficult to go on as it is right now. And it's causing problems on an environmental, of course, level, but also social and cultural. And I think all together we have to somehow change how things are done and how plastic is produced and consumed, and particularly how it's designed.
Yeah.
Because plastic per se is not a bad material, but the problem is how it is designed.
Yeah.
It's designed to be used for 30 seconds, for a minute.
Yeah.
And then it lasts for 500 years, which is where the problem really lays. And so we started working on this about 5 years ago now, when we realized that less than 10% of all plastic is recycled globally, which is incredible if you think about the numbers and about this material being extracted and produced, shipped across the planet, used for 20 seconds, a minute, and then thrown away.
Yeah.
And then if you're lucky, it gets burned and turned into some energy. Most of the time ends up in a landfill or gets sent back to China, and then no one knows what really happens to that material. So we're trying to change this from the bottom up, really trying to give the tools to change how things are and give these tools to the people, really. And so that we, so up until now, the recycling approach was to create big, massive plants, which requires millions of investment. And have a few of them across different countries. And we take the opposite approach. Get a lot of small recycling facilities that will be able to collectively recycle a lot of plastic. And in this way, creating a much more resilient network that can tackle the problem bit by bit.
Yeah, it sounds like you kind of approach it from a design sensibility. Like you were just saying that design is really important in changing this process. And I think that that's one of the reasons that as, you know, the distributed design market platform, that's one of the reasons we decided we needed to collaborate to bring this design sensibility into the community and also think about some of the products and the ways that we can actually work. And obviously behind us there's also the ping pong, so we can also work on ways that we can play ping pong as designers, which is good. But I think it's really cool if we can maybe talk a bit about design, because you have the infrastructure, obviously, you're putting out there, and the community you're building really well. We can talk about that in a minute. But can you talk a bit about how design has played a role in turning this plastic into things that are useful? Or can you give some examples about the kinds of uses for this plastic after it's recycled?
Yeah, so I'd say that internally we always had this huge struggle on what to design. Because it's a big responsibility, you know, that when you put out there an open source design within our network, it will be taken on, it will be replicated. And it is a huge responsibility for us to say what needs to be created and why. So for version 3, for example, we kind of escaped this question and we focus on techniques. So we don't tell you what to do, we tell you how to do it. So that then it's up to you, final user, what you want to be, what you're going to be making with plastic. So yeah, that's been kind of our approach until now. Right now we have about 10, 12 designers which have joined us, and they're working on different areas, from more functional products like plug, for example, to much more technically complex products such as a speaker, for example, more daily bricks, for example, or construction with the beams. So we're really trying to really inspire people in different areas of product design, so that we can really show, look, you can actually make a really cool product with recycled plastic, and you can do it with very cheap machine that you can make in a week with 500 euros.
Sure. And so the machines you've been creating, obviously so far, you had the version 3, you had extruder,
So we had version 1, which is the first one that they've designed. And then in 2016, we designed version 2.
Okay.
Of the machines, and then now we are improving this set of machines.
So these are the machines that maybe most people would know. Is the shredder?
We have the shredder. And we have the extrusion.
Extrusion.
We have the injection.
Injection.
And we have the compression machine.
Okay.
Yeah. So that's as per version 2 of the project. Right now, with version 4, we are moving more onto semi-industrial machines that will enable people in the network to basically process more plastic, and by doing so, we really want to get a much more relevant impact in the amount of plastic that gets recycled. Because up until now, really cool, really big community, a lot of people are working with plastic around the world. They're getting educated on how the material behaves and works, but when it comes to numbers and how much plastic is really being recycled, I think we have still a lot to do there.
Right, and so that's what the designers from Distributed Design Market Platform, that's what they're here to work on, to look at, to experiment with these new kinds of machines. And so can you tell us about if you're going to release them, when you're going to release them, or is this still top secret?
It's fully open, we do everything open, and from timelines to what we're going to be releasing to the budgets, when you come in, you can see.
Of course.
How much money is left from
the recipes? Are the vegan recipes open source?
They're working on that. They want to do a book.
Yeah, this would be amazing.
They want to do
please.
A book because it's, I think they should.
Yeah, we need this. They need to be shared.
But when it comes now for timelines and deadlines, I think we are planning to release the new version for Dutch Design Week 2019, which is at the end of October.
Super nice.
And that's when all the material will be documented and properly shared online, so that people can start to make the machines, make all these new products that we're going to be designing, and using our new digital tool. yeah. and everything that we've been working on for the past 9 months.
Yeah, so that's like a huge, that's going to be a huge accomplishment. It's going to be massive.
Absolutely. I can't see myself taking a day off for the next 5 months.
I can imagine.
Even though I just got married.
I was going to say, isn't there, you might need some time. No. So then after you just drop the bomb and then you go on vacation and stop everything, or you have other plans, or you could
so that's
it
how
out.
We've done it
like
up until
three,
now.
3 week nap or something. That could be good.
I guess, definitely a few months off.
Good.
Because me and Dave, we've been here since September last year.
Yeah, okay.
And there's been very little vacation. Yeah. But normally that's what we do. We just release a new version and then we take a few months off. Also because that's, in a way, we research and develop a lot of new knowledge and we put it out there, and it takes time for people to absorb this new content, this new knowledge, and then to replicate it and also to digest how people are taking this on. So it does take a bit of time for us to go back to it. But I think now the project is really reaching a size that it won't allow us to really just close shut the doors and go for vacation. So it's really nice now that we have, had, by the end of the project, we're going to have about 100 people that came to help us here.
Okay.
So we're really developing this network of friends and colleagues that we are able to work together in the longer run.
And somewhat family, because you guys all live together, you eat together.
Absolutely,
The network is super.
Yeah, so all these 40 people, we have 10 houses just around the corner, a cycle away. And we all share basically everything. We have our own rooms, of course, but we basically all the time together. And we work here, we live there, we have parties together, we go on vacation together.
Yeah.
Well, no, we don't do vacation, but weekends off.
You could, if you weren't trying to save the world, it would be really easy to take vacation.
Exactly.
There's two other things I just thinking about. Obviously, we want to talk about the community, super interesting. But before that, maybe you can just talk a little bit about this space, because we talk about plastic so far, but there's other things in this space. And
Absolutely.
It's a super creative hub of different ideas.
Mm-hmm.
Can you just briefly talk about that and how they fit into the overall strategy or overall concept of the...
Before that, I would like to briefly touch on this sort of unique bubble that is created in here, where money is on a secondary level. So the city of Eindhoven donated this space for 1.5 years, so we don't pay any rent to stay in here. This we won this grant, this 300,000 euro that enables us to facilitate all of these people here. The city of Eindhoven gave us these 10 houses for really cheap price that we can, so we can invite all of these people from all over the world. And that's over 100 people that came down here helping us out for free without asking anything, paying for their own ticket to come here. We go to the market to get the fruit and vegetables. The farmers, they load us with free food. The baker brings us the leftover bread here. So it's really creating this kind of little bubble where, the whole money, let's leave it on the side. Here, we're here to make sure that there are people that can work on solutions to this huge problem.
So yeah, you feel that. You do feel that when you walk into the space. I mean, it's got an energy that's really, you can see, is really based on this trust and this value system that goes beyond, the financial.
Yeah, and it changed completely sort of the relationship within the team and within the people. And it's an interesting experiment that we're running in a way, and there's a lot of learning. And
we are, coming in here, that was one of the first things that I really saw is how functioning the community is. And this is not, to say anything against what it could be, but, Lord of the Flies, there could be something else, able to happen. But it's really interesting how you have this very horizontal organization system, and yet you're extremely organized in the regimen of the day, these kinds of things. You have very precious time when you eat together, these kinds of things, bringing the values of the workplace really into the way that you work.
Absolutely. And I mean, now it's became natural for us, but in a way, that's something that we didn't really envision in the beginning of the project, the amount of time that is spent into making sure that you know, we all live peacefully and having a good time together, meanwhile working on these issues.
Well, it seems to work so far.
I think so. Another few months left.
Yeah, exactly.
But going back to your question, I think, so in the space we have, of course, the biggest part of the team, mm-hmm. which is working on plastic. So it's some people are developing machine, mm-hmm. some people are developing products, some other people are developing the digital infrastructure. But on top of that, we're also running a couple of side projects. Mm-hmm. One is, right now it's called Sims Better, mm-hmm. like spelled like Sims, from Alicia. And she's been looking into how we can give new life to garments, discarded garments. Mm-hmm. So all the clothing industry, of course, is another huge problem that we're facing and is kind of, huge globally. So we're trying to see ways in which, with the same philosophy as Precious Plastic, open source and really teaching people the basics on how you could yourself do something back home. Try to really give them the tools and the knowledge to do something about all of this material, because again, we're just talking about materials. And we're going to release that project at the end of the year, or maybe New Year. And another one which we are super excited is what we call Beyond Plastic project, which is run by Yanis. And there we're really looking into the future of plastic. Okay, so how can we go beyond plastic, right? To materials that are biodegradable. Not bioplastic, biodegradable. It's two different things there. And we want to make sure that this is really clear, because there's a lot of propaganda around the whole around the whole bioplastic, and we are skeptical about bioplastic in itself. So we really go in at fully biodegradable. So we really only use heat, pressure, and a bunch of materials and mixtures from coffee grounds to potato peels to number of grains or pines or flowers. So really seeing how we can create a material that is durable and usable.
And also edible.
And also edible.
Because, we experienced eating it. It was delicious. Kind of like a really hard cookie.
It's a little...
It's kind of like that, no?
We need to work on the softness.
As a bit of crunch to the ice cream, it was very nice. Super good.
I'm glad you like it.
Yeah, it was very good. We'll come back. It's okay. Or I'll make it when it's in the recipe book.
You can make it in a machine, make it on bowls.
Amazing.
So right now, we're focusing on tackling the single-use plastics. So we want to offer alternatives which are biodegradable. So we're now working on a cup, which is made right now. We're testing out, again, different materials. But right now it's made of coffee. So that once you finish, you can throw it away in the park, in the ocean, if you want to. And then it can biodegrade in a couple of days.
Amazing. And so you're testing all of this here in this massive space. And, okay, so we have...
So actually up there we have a few tests. We're running these three tests on bioplastics.
Okay.
So we put one out there, up there.
Oh, yeah, I can see.
Under the sun. We have one in ocean water. And we have a third one buried under the ground.
Okay.
So we want to see within a year what happened to this plastic that they say is biodegradable.
Okay.
That'll
be good to know.
Yeah.
Super. Cool. So, okay, you have 100 amazing humans who are coming to help you develop this. You have the machines, you have talk about toolkits and tools to try to share your methodology with others. You have... bioplastics, edible, all these kinds of amazing things. What's going to happen with all of this? What's the next version? What's happening with all of this? Where are we going?
Yeah, so with version 4, we focus in really much on creating a network, an ecosystem with multiple players that are interdependent between each other. So that you can really create this resilient network, global network, made of local connections. Okay. So we very much always think globally, how can we reach everyone, but then how can we empower them to connect locally, right? Okay, because I think that's really how things come to life, right? When you talk to your neighbors, when you talk to your friends, And then all together, you create this connection.
Yeah.
And so we're going to have like multiple workspaces that are really specialized on what they do, so they can do things really professionally and really good, really to a really high standard. And we envision this network to work really on a city level, so that we, it's so that the plastic gets processed locally, which is also crucial to avoid all the pollution that comes with shipping your waste to China, and then you know shipping it back, and then why not stopping in Africa a bit?
You're preaching to the choir. I mean, FabLab Barcelona, this is Fab City, this kind of thing. It's super, super the way we work, and I think this is another reason why. You know, we've connected with you guys on so many levels of this narrative of really understanding the global context and then working on it locally. And also, I think this empowering of citizens is really important to what you do, and it's also something that we are really passionate about. And I think one thing that I've been super, super impressed by being here is really this willingness to share and be open and transparent and bringing back a transparency not only to the global systems that we live in, like the waste pollution, these kinds of things, but also transparency to the way we work as designers, the way we share information and knowledge. And that's been really inspiring, and I think it's also something we share, but when you see it in a prototype stage like this, I think you really see that.
Yeah, I would say it's nice to see from outside, but it's a really thorough, difficult, daily challenge, because we don't take the easy path. We always question everything that we do and really go to the details and to the little small nuances to really make sure that what we make here, it's valuable and makes sense in a global scale, because in a way we really always go back to, you know, our philosophy and our main goal, which is to recycle more plastic globally. So that's really our bottom line, and that's why we're here. That's why we wake up every day and come here with a smile.
Yeah, and everyone's pretty smiley.
Yeah, I'd say so. And they know hi. Even though you're in the Netherlands.
Even if you're in this massive greenhouse. Maybe you're a little bit hot though. So maybe this gives you a bit
of... They have seen some dizzy faces around.
Happy but dizzy, point, this is fine. Okay, so can you talk about the camp?
I can talk about the idea of the camp.
We don't
have much concrete yet, I think, but I think we have.
I think maybe even if you can just kind of conceptualize, I mean, talk about it a bit, because I think it's something that is almost like an imaginative, like a utopian vision. And it's nice when you come here and you can actually see there are parts and aspects of what you're professing or thinking about doing that are actually really coming to fruition.
I would say this is a camp prototype 0.0001. So we're really testing out a lot of the ideas. Of course, we're working on recycling plastic, but at the same time, you know, we're running a fully vegan kitchen. We dumpster dive a lot. We make sure that our resources are taken care fully, that, you know, the material that comes in and the one that comes out is really considered, you know, from, you know, every day, and making sure that also the organization is as horizontal as possible, so that we all feel, you know, part of the project and have a say on the project. So that's really like version one of the camp. And the camp, what the camp is basically, we would like to do what we've done for plastic recycling for sustainable living. So basically, we will go out there in Portugal. We are buying a piece of land, and then starting from zero, we want to learn ourselves first. How can you create a community of 30, 40 people, 50 maybe? How can you create a community that lives sustainably and in balance with the planet? And once we learn how to do it, or in the process, we will open source everything that we learn, everything that we know, so that if you can project a vision in 10 years, then we have maybe 100 of these camps all around the world living sustainably and exchanging knowledge and information on how you can live more sustainably in that particular context.
So in this context, you're looking specifically, because we talked earlier today and then you just were talking a bit about the context of the city. So the urban space, the urban metabolism. And is there a relationship between the camp and this urban space? And are you thinking that maybe this camp, the camp can be some kind of a prototype for urban systems, or is this something really about culture and living Yeah.
It's not really intended for the city at the moment, but it could be eventually. But because I think sometimes it's easier to start from zero, from ground zero, and then build it up from zero. Mm-hmm. So from ashes, really. So we want to really go in a place that is also maybe a bit less easy or less ready, so that we can really build it from scratches. So we want to really make sure that we are able to fully sustain ourselves from water, for example, so we're not connected to the grid. Same with energy and so on and so forth. Mm-hmm. And yeah, so we like to start from zero and then possibly eventually we'll evolve into being applied to the city. But in the beginning it will be more also to give us a certain independency from the city. Because I think as long as you're in a city, you're always into this system. Whereas if you go out a bit, you can really question this system by creating a completely new one, which is difficult to do in a city.
There's that saying, like, what is it? It's this one we always use in the lab, but Manuela, help me out with the saying about there's no point in it, you have to build it from scratch. This video that we made in the lab. Anyway.
We'll come back.
I'll think of it
we'll put
it on our social media. No, it's super nice. I think for people in our networks and in the distributed design network and in the network that we have, obviously connected with Precious Plastics, I think there's a lot of synergies. And I think I see like one thing in common across everyone is that there's a whole lot of people willing to work as communities of practice to live and also practice the way that they see this future that they're looking for or they want. And it's really inspiring to see that. And also, I guess it makes it real, you know, when you actually see people like you guys actually doing what it is we always thought would be possibly the best beneficial way to live. Yeah, you guys are going
to
really do it. So it's
super
cool. Yeah. Yeah, we'll try at least try.
We're also super excited.
Yeah. So from this conversation, obviously, we need the recipe book for the vegan recipes, please.
Yes.
And also, we want to know what else, I mean, obviously, in the future, we want to collaborate further because we've got lots of...
It makes a lot of sense.
Yeah, we've got lots of ideas and, we want to come to the camp, so obviously. But is there something that we can kind of take back or take back to the people who will listen from FabLab Barcelona and also from other places as to how they can get involved and how they can actually be a part of the community or what could be the advices?
Yeah, I think, as always, I would say spreading the message is always the most important small bit of action that you could do as a citizen. Because I think even though, yes, it's becoming mainstream, the whole plastic problem, there's still an incredible amount of education that needs to be done. And it still amazes me the level of ignorance on the problem on a global scale. It's outrageous if you think about the scale of the problem.
This 10%, this less than 10% number is just exemplary of that. Yeah.
But also, just normal people, you know, how much they know about the problem, how much they know of possible solutions. So I would say, spreading the message and, you know, telling people that there are solutions out there. And they might not be the best perfect solutions, but at least they provide an alternative to the system that got us here in this mess. So that's really what we're trying to do here. Offering an alternative and offering a starting point to create a new system. Because if we carry on as we've done until now and we wait for some magical Silicon Valley tech to solve our problems, it's never going to happen.
No.
And we're going to be submerged by plastic very soon.
And water. And we're all going to be living in a planet that feels much like your greenhouse.
Absolutely, yeah.
So, So telling people about it, I don't think this is very, very difficult. I think we can all kind of do that.
Yeah.
And in general...
And, if you are interested to start you know, this journey into the plastic, it's everything available online.
Okay,
you know,
perfect.
As per Precious Plastic. So,
perfect.
All that we know... It's online. Not everything, but in October we'll be there.
Amazing.
Everything that is usable of what we know.
Okay, so there's a date? Can we put it in like our calendars or just looking forward to the end of
there
October?
There is, and I should check my calendar. Okay. I think it's 20 of October, okay, 22nd.
Yes. Super exciting.
Yeah.
All right, well, I guess you guys have like another, a week ahead of you.
You should come, actually.
Yeah, yeah, we would
during
love
Dutch Design Week, we're going to release everything for
all right, we would love
for
to
the
come.
Opening.
Yeah, yeah.
It's going to be massive.
Nice. It would be really nice, and it would be nice to see kind of the final output. Yeah. For sure, we'll be using the tools.
And city space would be cool.
Yeah, yeah, it would be amazing.
It'd be cooler.
Yeah, that'd be good. Slightly few less degrees would be perfect.
Yeah.
So you have 1 week left to get of this challenge with the 14 designers plus 15 in total. And can you just tell us quickly what you hope will occur in this week of design?
Well, first of all, from a more pragmatic point of view, we really just want to get a really thorough feedback on the material and how it is to work with it, because it's going to be a fundamental piece of the new network. Mm-hmm. So really these raw material beams and sheets. Mm-hmm. So really that's very interesting for us to see how someone completely new to this material can work with it. Mm-hmm. So already that would be super beneficial for us to really get a first-hand feedback on that. Mm-hmm. And then, I just want to get inspired by ideas of, you know, such a diverse group and see how they can apply all the special qualities of plastic to a product. So that it's, of course, the aesthetic, which is very specific, but, you know, with aesthetic is also goes trends, which so you can't really count on aesthetics too much because trends will evolve. Sure. So we're much more interested in a way in the functionality of it and the specific properties of plastic and how we can get the most out of it.
Super. Okay. Well, that'll be amazing. So we look forward to I guess
can't wait.
Saturday. And thank you so much for having us.
Thank you for being down here. It's amazing.
The sun is kind of going down now, so I feel like. Yeah. This is nature telling us to go to bed and to stop.
We'll be about
that. So, thank you so much for having us.
Thank you,
Kate. It's been a pleasure.
Yes.
And we'll be back for the vegan food in October.
Absolutely.
Oh, yeah, and the release of the new system. We'll see that as well. But we're mainly here for the food.
So. For the food.
It's been
That's
super
why we're here.
Good.
And the ping pong.
Oh, yeah, ping pong. Yeah, of course. Sure.
Cool. Thanks.
Super good. All right.
Bye.
Bye.
Thanks for listening. The Future Talks podcast is produced by us at FabLab Barcelona with happiness. This episode was recorded at 45 degrees in Eindhoven. Special thanks to the Creative Europe platform of the European Union, who co-funds Distributed Design Platform, the Distributed Design team, the Precious Plastics team, the 15 designers who made the Plastic for Good Challenge 2019 such a success. Music by Nua, art by Leina Sofia.